Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G tonight. Lots of snow outside. It is snowy. And this is a relaxed show. Not much has been happening other than very positive results on the Iowa caucuses, in the sense that the neocon vote is divided between Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley, and there's not a clear winner coming out. Nikki Haley fails to gather the second position, and we all know that we all know that Ron DeSantis doesn't have what it takes for a national support campaign. So it's looking very good for Trump, and it's looking very bad for the neocons, so much so that the Democrats are crying at this. The Democrats are the one most complaining. Suddenly they're interested at Republican politics simply because they want Nikki Haley to win. I don't know how it is that she is marketed and presented as a moderate candidate. She's not a moderate candidate. She's a warmonger. And that's the only thing that ties her to this mediatic elite. It's that they are on the side of the Democrat Party because they like war, and they would hope to have a neocon also at the head of the Republican Party, and they were founding lots of hope on Nikki Haley, but Nikki Haley underperformed and ended up in third position. Tree Bird says, what does JF use to store his Bitcoin? You can go check out my full episode on this, Surviving with Bitcoin, JFGT. If you search this on Odyssey, here, let me give you a link. Surviving with Bitcoins, I explain everything you need to do. And the answer is, I personally like Ledger. I have Ledgers, I have Trezors, but Ledger, I trust, and they are to me a higher grade. I know that they've had some bad PR on this whole sharding thing, but I'm not worried in terms of security of the Ledger. I think they've been extremely trustable. So here's the link. I'm putting it in the chat. The Ultimate Guide to Surviving with Bitcoin, JFG Tonight 707. All right. So these guys went to meet some wild tribe. Let's see how it goes. Are they approachable? This looks like a guy. Is this a joke? There's a guy with an afro. He's really holding you in his aim, in the aim of his arrow. The white man certainly doesn't want to make too much of a surprising move here. Steven Robinson says, this man is about to be raped. Raped, maybe eaten, I don't know. Not Louis C.K. was saying, I don't know if they're about to party or get eaten. But yeah, I wouldn't go there. Be careful when you go on islands. These tribal groups, you never know what they have in mind. Ty Odyssey says, I just watched the documentary The Mission about the American Christian who got killed by the Sentinelese. It was a good watch. Oh my God, I remember this news item about this guy. Don't do this. Don't go try to evangelize a freaking island of savages. What the fuck are you doing? The guy did it. He finally did it. If he can do it, you can too. So this guy had started with being ugly, my experience, made 20 million views on YouTube about how ugly he is. Some girl comes in. I actually think you're kind of cute, to be honest. I mean it. And so good advertisement here. He ends up with the girl, and now they are married. So he went from being known for his ugliness on YouTube to marriage. That is just what we do, ladies and gentlemen. We YouTubers of the public space, we obtain free exposure for our availability and celibacy. And it allows us opportunities that other people don't have. You know, I was thinking again about the killer's bounty, the whole concept that serial killers get fan letters and that in the whole smears against me, I ultimately benefited from the killer's bounty. It is the best signal of celibacy. I mean, can you imagine getting national news coverage and international news coverage and blog coverage where it's clearly stated that your girlfriend disappeared, therefore you are available? There is nothing like this. I mean, there's no way you can get 70 million females knowing that you're available. In my case, I scored big this time. I ended up with a beautiful girlfriend, a wonderful woman with whom I have intellectual pleasure to discuss with. And so never give up. Never give up. I had to date and sometimes reproduce with about 200 disgusting whores, uninteresting women who sometimes were high intelligence, but in a very abstract way, in a way that wasn't really connecting with me. And now I have the ideal girlfriend, thanks to this exposure that the public space gives you. Iowa GOP caucuses. Trump wins Iowa, as CNN covers it. This is the best outcome. Yesterday I was nervous. We have a Trump that comes out with the majority of the delegates, with a strong voting advance. And so Trump outperforms in relation to expectations. And the most important thing of this caucus is that, well, first, Trump solidifies the view that he is the candidate. If the Republican Party is interested in winning, they have to go with Donald Trump. Donald Trump is believed to be the one who can win against Joe Biden. He comes with a kind of vengeance story, which connects much more deep with the American people than anything Ron DeSantis could deliver. I've seen on Real Clear Politics an article that was saying Ron DeSantis ultimately does not understand the Republican Party. You can't just have policies. You need to have a kind of hate inside of you, a hate for the bureaucracy. You need to be there to drain the swamp in some way. And I'm not telling you that I believe strongly that Trump will effectively drain the swamp this time, because he failed last time. But he's the one who has a chance to have a feeling of vengeance. And there's no good right-wing possibility if you don't have some sort of vengeance that you're after. Trump will have this. That's why he's gathering the best votes. And the very important news of yesterday, well, first, there's Vivek, a small news. Vivek gives up and he supports Trump. It's bizarre, Vivek, because he didn't expect to get more than these votes. So why did he throw at the last minute this attempt to throw a conspiracy theory in the GOP? If it was that he intended to give up with his whatever 8% of the vote or whatever that is. 8% is better than expected. So he basically outperformed the surveys. So why you outperform the surveys, but you still give up? And you give up and you've kind of betrayed Trump, because you tried to go at Trump at the very end by telling your base, hey, vote for me because Trump may be knocked off the ballot in some other way with insurrection shenanigans. So kind of bizarre. If there's insurrection shenanigans and you're outperforming your surveys and your sworn enemy, Nikki Haley, the neocon, is down, is underperforming the surveys and is in third position and is within reach of being eliminated by you potentially, why would you give up there? It's bizarre. But at the same time, I think that Vivek had measured the fact that he was starting to piss off Trump a little too much. And he did the Indian thing to do. He withdrew and he let Trump alone. Go away, says Vivek won the New Delhi caucus, though. Don't know why he chose to drop out so early. Exactly. It's a bizarre decision. A new guy says it's interesting to compare the actions of the early missionaries with the actions of today's leftists. Both are evangelizing, both are colonizing, both are seeking to impose their views on everyone else. Yes. But the leftists, they have built it into an institution. They have successfully forced children into these institutions that we call public schools. I would say the leftists have been more successful at evangelization. And they also get taxes to pay for that evangelization. So when you look at the whole machine of leftist indoctrination, it is stunning and scary. I mean, it's unbelievable. Go away, says Jeff. The Republican Iowa caucus has not voted for the candidate that went on to win the Republican primary in the last 20 years. They voted for Mike Huckabee in 2008, Rick Santorum in 2012, and Ted Cruz in 2016. Based on this, I am calling it now, Donald Trump will not win the 2024 Republican primary. Well, that's interesting, but to me, I knew this. I know that the Iowa and sometimes the New Hampshire people, they go for something else. They try to put into track of winning a out there and weird candidate. But Donald Trump is not an out there and weird candidate. Donald Trump is the mainstream survey-approved candidate. And the fact that Iowa felt, even in their originality and creativity, the Iowa caucuses felt to go with Donald Trump, to me that's a strong signal that Donald Trump is headed for massive victory. Massive victory of the Republican primary. He is outperforming, by the way, his own performance from 2016. That is just how big it is. Dustin Diamond says, yeah, they finally woke up to fake conservatives. Yeah, I think people are increasingly aware that, oh my God, the Republican Party has really two branches to it, and there's less and less willingness to approve the whole Nikki Haley branch and Ron DeSantis branch. Trump outperformed in every county last night compared to 2016, even in urban counties where he won by smaller margins. Donald Trump beat his 2016 performance by more than 16% in the Iowa Republican caucuses. So very impressive. The leftists are seething because they were putting a lot of hope on Nikki Haley.
New Hampshire.
And I think to the point that you made, Steph, I mean, it's the elephant in the room. She's still a brown lady.
Nikki Haley is totally playing the white adjacent card. Like, Nikki Haley doesn't present herself as brown, Nikki Haley doesn't even seem brown. It seems to me that Nikki Haley, and with her name change, she is in whiteface. Nikki Haley is doing whiteface. That's her thing. Her name is like Shamrita Amidata, blah, 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 blah. Nikki Haley is all about not being brown. But suddenly when she loses, look at the leftist seating and giving her the status of honorary brown woman. Because now it's an argument to say, well, the Republicans are racist. The Republicans are not racist. I'm sure they would have been very enthusiastic to have a token racial minority that they can support and that they can say, look at how not racist I am. Haley has failed because she has deeply a neocon discourse.
That's got to try to win in a party that is deeply anti-immigrant and which accepts the notion that you can say immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. She's getting, you know, birthered by Donald Trump.
Donald Trump has not been particularly hitting strong on Nikki Haley. Birthered. I think this is just to evoke the old arguments of Trump against Obama.
Hear how much the donor class likes her, which will ramp up a lot the better she does in New Hampshire. So it's still a challenge. I don't see how she becomes the nominee of that party with Donald Trump still around. I can't picture it happening. Maybe it could happen. Ron DeSantis's only argument for staying in it is he's the white guy, that he can still make the appeal to white
people.
None of what she has said here is the relevant axis of analysis. The war that's happening within the Republican Party is Trump, who gets considered as America first non-neocon, and then Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis, who are two stand-ins for the same ideology, which is the warmongering ideology. Someone on the chat said, JF, check Jack Posobiec's Twitter account. Well, let's have a look at what I found on Jack Posobiec's Twitter account. Wow, is that Vivek and Trump?
You know this man. You know why we're here. Patriots across the state. We are in the middle of a war in this country. That's what this is. It's not a war between black and white. It's not between Democrat and Republican, even in a deeper sense. It's between the permanent state and the everyday citizen. Between those of us who love the United States of America and a fringe minority who hates this country and what we stand for. And right now we need a commander-in-chief who will lead us to victory in this war. That's what we need in this country.
Oh, no. Oh, no, we're going to have an Indian vice president. Is that the announcement? Is that a sign that Vivek is headed to be the running mate of Trump? Well, honestly, I've liked Vivek. He's been high IQ. He's been anti-deep state. Now, there's all sorts of worries. I don't know if he can deliver. And I don't know, anyways, as a vice president, that you can do much. But look, he's been in the right direction on immigration, on fighting illegal immigration, perhaps not enough against immigration as a whole. He's very much in line with Trump. He's been making an anti-deep state discourse. He's been making an anti, I guess you could say to some extent, vaccine. I would have to recheck his path on vaccines, but certainly not for authoritarianism in the domain of medical vaccination. So he's been a fair libertarian and a fair right winger, and he's been understanding the dangers of the deep state. That would be better than pretty much any alternative that Trump could choose, really. I mean, better than Vivek would be like Kanye or Nick Fuentes, but knowing that Trump will not go with Kanye or Nick Fuentes, Vivek would be a great running mate in the circumstances. I just can't believe that we have to have an Indian rather than a white guy doing this.
You got to know you're in a war to win one. You can't win one if you're asleep at the switch, have your head stuck in the sand like most Republicans. And I think that's going to require somebody who isn't bought and paid for, a businessman, not a politician. Anybody heard of that? And that's why I was in this race, but I'll tell you, the people of Iowa spoke loud and clear last night, and I'm a big believer that we, the people, create a government that is accountable to us, not the other way around. That we, the people, choose who leads this country. And so we heard we, the people, last night, and that is why last evening I met my friend here. We met in person, and I told him that I would endorse Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, and do everything in my power to lead us to victory in this war. It is a 1776 moment right now.
Okay. I don't know. Does that mean he will be the running mate? I guess that Trump will have him do some work to try to prop up his candidacy within the primary. And yeah, I guess that most supporters of Vivek, they should convert relatively well to Trump. I expect that if they were voting for Vivek, they're certainly not going to vote for any of the two neocon candidates. So no DeSantis, no Haley. And so you got an 8% right there that Trump can bank in. And that's important because Trump was above 50, but you want to be comfortably above 50. Dustin Diamond says Trump is enjoying the blowjob. And you know, Trump is very old. I mean, it's going to be hard to have the dynamism, and Vivek has the perfect energy to complement Trump in this campaign. You can see that he's more into the words. He's more into the diction, the pronunciation. Whereas Trump is more like, at this point, he's chilling at the microphone and giving his usual delivery. It was good speaking, but it's not the Trump of 2016. He's getting way too old to be that inspiring. Daryl says, Vivek doesn't bring anything. He needs DeSantis or Haley Peoples. Yeah, I mean, the question is, yeah, it's does Trump need to do this completion? He's always done it, and all that it leads to is that Trump gets betrayed. Trump surrounds himself with way too many enemies. That's been the problem of his first presidency. And hopefully he knows better this time. Saturn Shine says there's probably over 100 million that came in, and that doesn't include the ones that have been coming in. Talking about the immigrants. Yeah, by the way, this makes me think we have to schedule our Patreon hangout. So I will schedule it in 2 days from now on the 18th. So Patreon, Subscribestar subscribers, join me in the private show on the 18th. That's Thursday in 2 days from now at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Patreon hangout. I'm adding it to the calendar. All right. Low Mercury Tuna has sent a super chat on Entropy. He says, do you think identical twins, triplets, etc., should be a single legal entity for everything? If my identical twin commits an offense without my involvement indeed, they find, arrest, and imprison me too? I'm half joking when I say I want twins to be considered a legal entity, a single legal entity. But when you think about it, I mean, wouldn't that be the perfect crime? You have a twin, you kill someone, you leave DNA traces on the scene, there are cameras showing you kill them, and then you walk back home, you go to sleep, and then the two twins get arrested and are under suspicion, But the two twins are categorical that it is not them, it is the other twin that's on the camera. That it is not their genes, it is the genes of the other twin that's on the crime scene. I mean, that would be mind-blowing. Can you imagine the two twins subject to a criminal prosecution, and they both convince the jury that there's not enough evidence to be sure that it's this twin? I'm 50% on this one, but I'm 50% on this one. That's not enough, 50% for a conviction with the reasonable doubt, the beyond reasonable doubt standard. That would be very interesting. I don't know if a case like this has ever existed. Go away says, identical twins are unconvictable, checkmate legalist. I would love to see a case like this and see how it turns out. But yeah, I'm half joking when I say let's consider twins to be a legal entity. But when you think about it, genetically, I mean, the kids of the other twin are as much your kid. They have as much genes as your own kids. That's weird. Because then if one of the twins does some insider trading, but lets the other twin benefit from that insider trading, technically he's giving he's passing money to his children. And yet only one of them goes to jail. That's kind of weird to me. It's weird that there's these loopholes with twins. We have more leftist seating on the Haley defeat.
Big picture takeaway from that, and I don't mean to be, again, too dark, as you said, on this, but it is not, if we are worried about the rise of authoritarianism in this country, we are worried about potential rise of fascism in this country, if we're worried about our democracy falling to an authoritarian and potentially fascist.
The only way in the last few years where we have been at threat of authoritarianism and fascism has been under the care of the Democrats with their vaccine project, their mask projects, their closings of businesses. I've never been at threat of fascism by Trump.
Fascist form of government. The leader who is trying to do that is part of that equation.
Mm-hmm.
But people wanting that
Correct.
Is a much mm-hmm. bigger part mm-hmm. of that
That's
equation.
Right.
And the American electorate is made up of two major parties. One of those parties has been flirting with extremism on the ultra-right for a very long time. They've brought them in a way that they haven't been central to Republican electoral politics ever before.
So revolting for the very guy who has been a president of our country and who has been rolling a very tame presidency, really, is extremism.
I know because I've been studying this. But once you have radicalized one major party so that those are the preferences of the people who adhere to your party, the leader is interchangeable. Mm-hmm. And yes, Trumpism is sometimes what we call it.
Mm-hmm.
MAGA movement is probably a better way to do it. But there is an authoritarian mm-hmm. movement inside
yes.
Republican politics that isn't being bamboozled by Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They are pushing Trump
yeah.
to get more and more
right.
extreme, because the more extreme things he says,
the more they adhere to him.
Yeah. And that is...
Well, the more extreme it is, the more there's a chance that the situation changes. That being said, there's nothing authoritarian in the current trend of the Republican Party. There's no social conservatism in the project of Trump. Vivek is basically a libertarian. If there was a social conservative, it might have been Ron DeSantis, who will impose stuff in Florida like, bathroom for trans people and that kind of stuff. It is the only candidate who had really a social conservative discourse. Trump doesn't have this. Let's check in on 70 years of forced black integration into American classroom. This video, I mean, it's really sad because you have black teachers, black director of the school, and black children, and they have all these massive behavioral problems. You're not going to educate them. You're not going to have a productive educational curriculum that will change anything here.
Well, I'd like to see you go up here and do one of these problems.
The fuck I'm talking to you, Mr. Johnson, before I come knock the motherfucking glasses off your face. And that's on my dick or my head.
Didn't I tell you earlier today, I said,
shut the fuck up talking to me.
Markel, I said I do not talk to you that way, and I would appreciate it if you did not talk
shut
to me
shut the fuck
that
up
way.
Talking to me.
I do not curse at you. Have I ever cursed at you?
Yes.
I have never cursed at you.
Yes, you have.
You know that's not true.
I bet I could put up some problems that you won't even know, Mr. Johnson.
You probably could.
Exactly.
Come on, put some problems on the board.
Get it, okay? You gonna
don't
get it. You gonna get
head.
It. Break it. Go on, break it. Go on, break it.
Bird!
Go on, break it.
You got 5, 10, 15, 20.
Go on. Go on to jail. Move. Get away from me.
No.
Get away from me.
No.
Montreal, if I change that number, then you know what to do next time. Montreal, do you know what to do this time? Here, you want to come up here and work it?
I said, all we do is substitute values.
I mean, I was looking at his eyes and I was like, this guy is going to murder someone. This guy's going to murder someone in 10 years from now. Why do we have to wait for the murder at this point? He's like, as a kid, he looks like a psychopath. Yeah, but we do have to wait for the crime or else it's pre-crime. Black schools need bouncers, says Barnaby Brutto. I mean, they always have, I'm sure they always have some specialists. Sometimes they might call them like special educator or stuff like this, but it's basically the guy who has to handle violent cases and people who are disturbing the class in one way or another. There was an article that was mentioning Zelensky wanting to organize peace talks, a peace talk summit. But people were pointing out Russia isn't invited to the peace talks. What Zero Hedge is referencing is Ukraine talking to other countries in Davos, Switzerland, about Zelensky's 10-part peace plan. The 10-part peace plan includes Russia withdrawing from Crimea and Donbass, meaning Ukraine wins the war. Zelensky wants the war declared a win for him, when in fact he's lost it. Those are ridiculous demands. And I mean, Zelensky is not incentivized at being truthful and correct in his evaluation. Zelensky is incentivized at continuing to be deluded. And he's going to keep, as long as you pay him for being deluded, he's going to keep being deluded. We have learned, oh my God, this could initiate a war. Nikki Haley is saying she will bomb Iowa in retaliation for tonight's results. And the Babylon Bee, after lackluster showing, Nikki Haley orders bombing of Iowa. Oh my God, that one made me laugh. Rudy Lacid says, will there be a CRP memorial at the peace conference? Well, yeah, if we're going to have peace and reconciliation, I want CRP's death to be acknowledged, his death at the hands of the Zelensky fascist. Let's check in on the normie squeeze.
The reality is, nobody can afford life right now. Nobody knows what to do.
Where's your husband?
People are immigrating here and more money is, we're going into further debt. And it's like, I can't even afford my groceries, girl. And I'm...
You say, girl, where's your husband?
I'm working 40 hours a week and I'm a single fucking income.
Ah, you are a single income.
And then I have clients who literally just like don't even have beds. The reality is, nobody can...
What was she saying at the end? She has clients who literally just don't even have beds. Well, these clients are not the right people to deal with. They're not going to bring you money if they don't have beds. You need to deal with people who have too many beds. People who can bring you some cash, like the super chatters on this show. MB14, for example, sent a super chat. He says, Mr. Asperger JF, you call me Mr. Asperger. You need to understand that gold and Bitcoin is Jewish, but silver is guy money. You're going to end up like this woman, MB14. You're going to end up like this woman. Silver, historical price, 1990 to 2024. I'm going to pull a graph. I mean, oh my God, man. See, this is the problem. Okay, I'm looking at the chart of the silver prices and I'm like, wow, you got fucked in the ass, my friend. If you got convinced that silver was the next thing, you are getting fucked in the ass and you're enjoying it and you're saying, I want more. Okay, now let's pull a gold chart. Gold prices over 100 years chart. Okay. I'll see. And then let's pull Bitcoin. Bitcoin price, full historical chart. Okay, so silver. You would be absolutely ridiculous to put silver in, to have silver as some sort of store of value or protection against inflation or way to profit in any way. You are fucking ridiculous if you do this in the face of this 100 years chart. The price of silver is literally stable over 100 years. I mean, I'm talking to you about 1918, back in the days where you could buy a Coca-Cola bottle for 5 cents. You could buy a Coca-Cola bottle for 5 cents, and here you buy a Coca-Cola bottle for $3. Okay? And yet, silver is exactly at the same price. Over 100 years, silver goes down because there's lots of production of it. Now, there was a little peak in 1980, and then as soon as this peak shows up, what do you have? The miners say, oh yeah, we got infinite silver. We don't give a shit. As long as you bring silver to $120 a piece, we're gonna produce billions of grams of silver. And so silver keeps going down and down every time its price rises. You would be absolutely stupid to be putting reserves of money in there. I'm not telling you there's no reason for the silver market. The silver market has its function. If you need silver, if you're an industrial producer who needs silver for some reason, or maybe you're in the Olympic medal sculpting business, and sometimes you'll want to short silver, sometimes you'll want to be long silver to ensure the stability of your production. Now, let's look at a real chart of something that's kind of a good solution to store value, gold. But you'll see it's far from perfect also. Now, at least we're starting to have a kind of logarithmic scale. So you can see that, okay, there were waves between 400 and 800 in the early century. And then the 70s shows up. Gold gets popularized as a store of value. But then it goes down in the 2000s. So gold is capable of going down. And I can't tell you for sure that if you buy gold here, that you're protecting yourself against inflation. Gold has been an acceptable rising force, but nothing fancy. I mean, if you buy gold in 1917 at 500 and you sell it here at 2000, you've made 4x over a century. I do 4x over a year. 4x is... I'm disappointed if I do 4x in a year. If you bought gold at the beginning of the century, you do 4x. Now, let's look at a serious option for storing value, Bitcoin. So here we have the earliest story of Bitcoin, 2010 to 2022. So, of course, if we had a point, it would be of the current price, it could be, I don't know, around here. What you see here is a almost linear increase, and it's a linear increase in logarithmic space. That is 9 cents, $26, $600, $900, $2,000, $18,000, $68,000. So those are orders of magnitude rises. Now, on your silver for 100 years, you do zero. On your gold for 100 years, you do 4x. On your Bitcoin over 10 years, you do 600,000x or whatever. 9 cents bring you towards 68,000. We're talking about classes of asset that are in totally different categories. Gold right now is a risky bet, let me tell you, because no one knows that gold will be forever an inflation edge. No one knows this. Gold eventually might be what it should be, which is a specialist material for space exploration, because these gold foil apparently are very important for making space vehicles, and that's pretty much all it will be at the end. So no, fuck your silver, MB. Thanks for your super chat, but fuck your silver. Chef Marv says 100 years ago, 4x your wealth was unthinkable. The economy wasn't as easy to game with financialization and bubble economics. Well, exactly, but Bitcoin is the bubble buy of the bubble economy. It is a system made for the current world. That is, everyone, the reality of the wealth in this world is that everyone just wants to park their wealth in something that will outperform everything else. And when you think about it, the one thing that should outperform everything else is the one thing that basically does nothing. The one thing that doesn't have employees, the one thing that doesn't have legal liabilities, the one thing that doesn't have risks. And that is Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the abstract expression in the information world of value. There's no customer service. There's no person who can die on the job because there's no job. It's just a bit out there that exists. When you think about it, it had to be this way. As Elon Musk once phrased it, it was inevitable in the end. Go away, says, bro, JF, you showed the inflation-adjusted graph for gold and silver. I'm dying here. Show the unadjusted graph. You are spreading misinfo on my gold and silver investment. Okay, well, I didn't know. I just Googled these graphs. Okay. Okay, so you're doing more than 4x if you start. I was finding it very weak, 4x, as an investment. So if I remove the inflation calculation, we are from 20 to 2000. So let me give you the exact value that it gives, you do a 100x. You do a 100x on gold over 100 years. That makes more sense. Now, silver. Silver, you do 1 to 22. So you do a 22x on silver. 22x, 100x, all of this over a century. This is orders of magnitude below what still, despite the removal of the inflation, this is orders of magnitude below what Bitcoin can give you in 10 years. So it's still not a good investment. Friedrich von Finkel says, I would rather have some gold than a Bitcoin, to be honest. The communists are at the door. What are you going to do with your gold once they start putting their gloves and say, we're going to look in your ass now if you have any value left? You're going to have something that you can store in your head. If you don't have something that you can't, that you can only store in your head, that is not to be found elsewhere, you don't have wealth. You have something that's easily stealable. There's been a lot of invisibility shields video on the early internet. I've always been fascinated by this technology because in principle, it's very easy. When you think about what an invisibility cloak is, you should basically film your back, project it onto a screen on the front. If you can find a way for the light rays that come into your back to be kind of illuminating toward the front, an invisibility cloak should be doable. I've been fooled by so many videos out there because there's always a scam. There's always a video edit to kind of fake the invisibility cloak. But this one looks real to me. I don't know if you guys have evidence that this is manipulated, but it does look like it works. So I don't know how it accomplishes this. Perhaps by trying to kind of get the angled light rays and reflect at different angle. But it kind of hides him pretty good, I'll tell you. Look at this. It was there. And of course, you see that there's something. It's not an invisibility cloak that camouflages from the background, but it certainly hides what the thing is behind it. I love this technology. I don't know why don't we have this in the form of really a camera and screen system. I think that a camera and screen system could potentially perform well. Freedom is slavery, war is peace, ignorance is strength. The people at the World Economic Forum are bloodthirsty, let me tell you.
Is that if we want that to happen, a peaceful, just end to this war, the way to get there are more or is more weapons to Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So the more credible we are in our military support, the more likely it is that the diplomats will succeed.
Okay, so if we want to be headed toward peace, we need to do more war. Of course, as long as you send weaponry toward Ukraine, you're encouraging them to catch their young males on the street. I've seen a hilarious video where the guy is running so quick that he can't get captured by the Ukrainian police and the Ukrainian army. And so he's just running away from like Forrest Gump, you know, he's running. And as long as he runs, he's not being forced into the army. But yeah, there's lots of people who don't have what it takes to run away from the military, and they get caught and they get sent to the front line to be killed. As long as you send weapons to Ukraine, that's what you're favoring. We have a super chat. Garen says, JF, precious metals have been precious for millennia. The intrinsic value of cryptocurrency has yet to be determined. You cannot compare 100 years of inflation-adjusted silver and gold prices with 20 years of unadjusted Bitcoin prices. Well, I've now compared with the not inflation-adjusted, and even this is not comparable. Because we know why. These things are not scarce in the end. We can produce as much gold as you're willing to buy. As long as you're there buying it, we can produce more. So you're really pooling your success in the gold and precious metals domain. With a whole market of demand and offer, the thing with Bitcoin, there is no such thing as Bitcoin offer. The Bitcoin offer is capped. So you're dealing with a known fixed amount of Bitcoin. There will never be more than this. And I think that this is radically different from anything we've seen before. Anything we've seen before, it was all about producing more of it whenever the price rises. Bitcoin is inelastic. The supply is inelastic. Absolutely inelastic. MB14 says Norwegian salary in 1880 was 2 kroner or 12 grams. 6 grams for women. Silver is underpriced. Bitcoin is worth less in 100 years. Do whatever you want, bro. Do whatever you want. Buy your silver. I'm happy for you. But silver, man, you're not going to get rich with silver. I'm absolutely certain of that. Silver will still be valued in 100 years. Do you intend to live for 100 years and protect that silver for 100 years and find a physical way to transfer that silver to your great-grandchildren? Because you can do all of this very easily with Bitcoin, but are you really saying that you're going to hold silver for 100 years to do a 4x, a 20x? Go away, says Jeff. What are you going to do with your BTC when the competency crisis causes the power grid to fail? Don't believe this is a real risk? Look at South Africa. The power grid failing as a whole in the whole of the world without any working network of any kind, I think that's setting the standard very high for the competency crisis. Maybe there will be complication with maintaining the internet network at some point. But I suspect some of it will survive. And anyways, if I see that point happening, I can sell my Bitcoin before. Like, if I have the impression that some events in the world are likely to cause the end of electricity and the internet, I can convert to whatever is useful at that moment. But I don't have to do it now because I don't foresee the internet stopping to work in the next 20 years. Are you kidding me? The internet is not going to die within 20 years. MB14 says Bitcoin ETF will be the doom of Bitcoin. Now they can naked short Bitcoin just like they have done with silver since 1980. The problem is... In the end, Bitcoin is not subject to variation in supply. So that will be a big problem for anyone trying to manipulate the market for too long in an unsustainable direction. In the end, they're going to have to buy Bitcoin if they want to then benefit from the coming rise. Simeon says, is BTC inelastic when it can fork and pull people over to the new prong? I mean, if that happens, you could argue that it's a form of inflation. If the two forks have any degree of success that maintains both of them into existence. But I think it's been rare enough in the history of Bitcoin that I don't have a big worry on the average and relatively long term for this. I do have a big worry over the many decades timescale, which is why I'll be out of Bitcoin eventually. But you guys are you guys are talking about worries that it's not the right time to have. Right now, it's time to be in Bitcoin. Stephen Robinson says, Canadian courts have ruled against Jordan Peterson's appeal, ordering him forcibly re-educated if he wants to practice in Canada. Well, yeah, that was the whole case of the professional order. And I'm not even super insulted by this case, because I don't think it's an attack on a fundamental liberty. It's just a defense of the concept of standards. Now, do I like professional orders deciding what their members believe in or have to state they believe in? No, I think it's bad, but I don't think it's illegal. If I was to make a group called the Papa JF Cigar Lounge, and I'm like, it's ultimately freedom of association. If you want to be part of the Papa Cigar Lounge, you need to have gigantic testicles. You need to have Bitcoin. You need to believe that Nikki Haley would be a terrible president. Now, if Jordan Peterson wants to be part of the Papa JF the Papa JF Cigar Lounge, and he doesn't have the big testicles, or he thinks that Nikki Haley would be a great president, I'm sorry, you can't be part of the club, Jordan. Now, Jordan brings me in court. I have the right to believe that Nikki Haley would be a great president. Well, okay, but then you choose to not be in the Papa JF Cigar Lounge. You can have a restrictive club, and maybe the College of Psychology of Ontario is a restrictive club. I think I would hope that this club fails because I hate it. But and I would like a world in which you can be a psychologist and be a free thinker. But that's not our world, and we can't right now. And there's all sorts of legal basis on which I would contest the College of Psychology, other than this one, that I think are much more valid. I believe that it's the monopoly that they have over the practice of psychology that should be contested. There should be an alternate College of Psychology. There should be the Jordan Peterson College of Psychology, where you can think this about trans and that about fat women. But if you have a College of Psychology that tells you, hey, for us, because we want to deliver services to fat women, because holy shit, do they bring us some of these social welfare bucks, you know, it's kind of a big cash-in opportunity here. We exclude from our club anyone who insults fat women on Twitter. That's actually reasonable. I wouldn't want to be part of a club like this because I want to keep my liberty of insulting fat women at will. But you have to sacrifice certain things, and your membership in clubs will have to be sacrificed. That's what I'd like to explain to Jordan Peterson. Overall, I don't think that Jordan Peterson add an ideologically righteous cause here. I don't think it was... And there's always a little bit of bullshit in the Jordan Peterson ideological causes. you know? Even I, as an extremist, I can see the lie. And it's amazing because a Richard Dawkins, I saw a clip of Richard Dawkins today, will actually say that he likes Jordan Peterson on the question of his fight for free speech. But is it free speech to be entitled to be in a college of professor of psychology, even if you go against their standard? Is it free speech to be able to use the pronouns that someone doesn't like as a university professor who has a policy, who is a corporation that is trying to attract clientele and that's trying to give a standard of behavior to their employees? Those are important questions that are kind of shortcutted in Jordan Peterson, where he makes it about free speech on the whole pronoun stuff, when in fact, it seems I can use any pronouns I want. It seems I can look at a trans and say, hey, you're a man, and I'm in Canada. But Jordan can't because he wanted to be a professor of a university, and then the university has a code of conduct. But is it okay for corporations to have codes of conduct? And now he wanted to insult fat woman on Twitter. But is it okay for a college of psychology to say insulting fat woman on Twitter is not a righteous way of being a psychologist in Canada? Like, if plumbers had, let's say I'm the College of Plumbers, I will go with something I really know well, plumbing. And in my practice of plumbing, I say that, let's say I have some standards about the pipes you need to use, and there are some pipes that are just not good. And let's say that I have a little rule. If you want to be a JF-approved plumber, you need to have a device surrounding your hips that ensures that your ass crack does not show whenever fixing a pipe. Because we've had some calls from women, they feel that they are being sexually harassed because they have the sight of the ass crack of the plumber all the time whenever the plumber goes to repair under the sink. As long as this is what is being brought on the regular chat here, and you guys says it's the only way to do psychology. Yes, that's a problem, but that's a problem of monopoly. It's not a problem of free association. See, if my plumber club was to impose those standards, I think it would be reasonable to say I have the right to kick from my club a plumber who shows up constantly with his ass crack in the air. If I was the only club of plumber, and if I was to actively make it illegal for other plumbers who wants to show their ass crack as a kind of professional ethic statement, and I was to keep them from business, that would be the basis on which to sue me, that I've created a monopoly. But let's sue the College of Psychology for their monopoly. Let's not sue them for having standards that, yeah, I disagree with. John Goras says, plumbers just expressing themselves, part of their culture, don't hate. Exactly. Dean Rogovich says, Jeff, I had a complaint today about my ass crack. Well, see, this is what happens when you come to watch JFG tonight. You get to hear about stuff that really matters, that affects your reality on an everyday basis. A TikTok user, No Juice For Me Please, is making a Jewish tunnel video game. This will be our last news item for tonight. It will be a Jewish tunnel video game called Tunnel Rabbi Alpha.
Oi. 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 Oi.
And he is jumping on dirty, bloodied mattresses. Very nice. I think it's great to showcase aspects of Jewish culture in video games. And we have here gamer boys who keep playing no matter what, no matter the floodings and the rain.
Gago pa ba part na naman to? Hindi na. Tangina
bahala niyan eh.
You know, whenever I work with people in the third world, they're always unreliable, and you can hear their 20 people family behind them yelling, and I'm like, how the fuck do they end up working online with this kind of shit? But then I watch these videos and I realize, yeah, they're probably just dipping in shit water from their sewers or whatever. So the fact that I'm just hearing their shit family behind them is really the last of my concerns. Thank you for watching. MB says, if you want my special tulip bubble, you can buy a tulip for 1.5 ounce. Silver is the most conductive, the most reflective antibacteria. It is money made by God. Just buy silver, bro. You seem to really like it. I am not saying go out of Bitcoin, but you need to diversify. We love diversity, don't we? Just get some ounces of silver. Man, what is your favorite cheese? I love many cheeses. I love the Red Leicester Farmers. I love the Montgomery Cheddar. I love the Valence Ultra Dried, the Comté, the Val de Léon Bleu. I love the Bleu d'Auvergne. I love the Extra Old Mimolette. I love so many. The Tom de Savoie. I love so many cheese, my friend. Any cheese that is spectacular, that is intense, the Époisse et Berthaud. I love cheeses. So don't forget, the Patreoning out will be this Thursday in 2 days from now. I'll be sending the invitation, and if you are at the $20 level on Patreon or Subscribestar, it will be right after the regular show around 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday the 18th. Bye-bye.